Are you ready to get your face rocked off? July 17th at the Muskie Shop Bash, Elmer Jensen's one-man classic rock bass review. If you're sick of classic rock songs that have too much guitar, too many vocals, and too many drum solos, this is the show for you. All classic rock, all bass guitar only. Elmer Jensen walks through the 60s, 70s, and 80s with the classic rock bass sounds you've come to love. You've never heard Stairway to Heaven like this. All aboard the crazy train. Run with the devil, 'cause Elmer Jensen is. And who can forget those classic AC/DC bass lines? One night only, July 17th at the Muskie Shop Bash, Elmer Jensen's bass-only classic rock review. He'll try to set the new world record by hitting the low G.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast. Jay Bird, are you ready?
Steve.
Are you
Elmer.
Ready? To Elmer. Rock your face off.
July 17th at the Muskie Shop Bash.
Elmer's Dude. Amazing. That was incredible.
Literally.
How was that done?
I don't know. Elmer's probably one of the best bass guitarists ever to live. And
it sounds like a live capture of an arena show
it,
you
it
did recently.
It truly is. And folks, if you're like me, and you love classic rock, but you hate vocals, guitar, and bass. Or excuse me, vocals, guitar, and drums. And you just want to hear those sweet bass lines. Wait. Have you ever heard Elmer's stirring rendition of Fool for the City by Foghat, Jay?
No, but he did do that Proko Harum song the other day that he likes.
Nights in
acapella.
White
satin.
Pretty amazing.
Dear to his heart.
Make it out. We're going to make out and make it out to the Muskie Shop Bash on July 17th. There probably will be a one-man Elmer Jensen bass show, I'm believing.
Well, we're working on it.
You know, so everybody's got to kill some time. You know, what are you doing between speakers? So we're going to have Elmer. Elmer will just stand there on stage and just rip on bass. That's what's going to happen. Anyway, speaking of the bash, I'm going to be there. Joe Book Daddy Arena will be there. The Smitties yep. will be there. We yep. got where we got some, what, Daiwa reps are going to be there?
Yeah, Daiwa, Shimano. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who else. We're working on getting a bunch of manufacturer reps there and or owners of the companies.
Yep.
You know, if it's a muskie lure company, it'd be nice to have the owners of some of these smaller companies there and showing off what they got. The cool thing with having the real guys there is that what we can do is they're going to have all their sample reels out there, all the models.
Right.
And what we can do is put those on, match them up with rods, let you guys try them.
Well, and the thing is this.
Try before you buy.
Try before you buy. Check them out.
We'll be outdoors. You can, you know, we'll hook up something without hooks, and you can fling that out and, you know, see what it's like. See how much you like the new stuff, like that Daiwa Pro Rex. A lot of people right. asking about that. That's the new hot reel out right now. And I think that's going to be a really neat thing to do. Too many people have that opportunity to try out rods.
Right.
You know,
we're going to do one thing. I know that we're going to do for funsies is I'm like 1,000,000,000% committed to doing like a casting contest for some kind of bait. Right. Which will be fun,
right.
You know, do it at different distances or something. like we said, the musky Olympics or Special Olympics, whatever you want to call them, you know, within reason. If you guys have any ideas for stupid musky fishing events, let us know. But we're going to do that for funsies. Give away some stuff. I'll be emceeing that day, so it will be stupid. I promise. Heck, yep. if it gets real boring, we might do karaoke in the parking lot. Who knows? Whatever you got, you know.
Who knows?
It's. I promise I'll have a few Pepsis and I will get buck wild. Guaranteed.
Crazy.
Guaranteed. Now we'll figure out. We're going to have some fun stuff going on. Obviously, some sales and your chance to hang out with me, the Smitties, and Booker. Don't turn your back on the Smitties, though. That's all I'm saying. I've got two rules when I'm confronted with a Smitty. Now the problem is there's more than one Smitty, right?
Yeah,
there's multiple Smitties.
Double up on you. Mm-hmm.
Never look them directly in the eye. Right. Number one.
Right.
Number two. Never turn your back to them.
So what do you kind of look at, like their
from,
chin
from the yeah do you, from You're the right. side like if you're talking to
key.
One. Turn right. your head to the side. If you make eye contact with a Smitty, that's a sign of aggression. And they will hurt you. I promise.
Yeah.
I've heard too many tales. Just look down at your feet or their feet. Never look up. Don't make direct eye contact. And like I said, you know, don't turn your back to a Smitty.
Okay.
Just word to the wise. Anyway, so Joe will be there. Boop Daddy will be there. I heard from
Joe today. He's back in Wisconsin.
Back in the saddle again.
I think he's fishing over in the Mississippi River area. He's on the western part of the state at his cabin, I think. So back fishing freshwater, which is, I imagine, fishing saltwater all winter would get old.
Would it though? It beats being cold.
I'm being kind of sarcastic. I don't know. That sounds like an awful lot of fun. John Mikniak's back at work yesterday, and
Mikniak.
He was in Florida as well, not too far away from where Joe was all winter too. And he did a lot of saltwater fishing. He was showing pictures of this some kind of grouper he got. It's like 280 pounds.
Like a Goliath grouper or something? Or?
He's like, you know, everyone says, you know, you catch 3-pound fish down there, they pull, like, they just got so much power. Mm-hmm. They don't quit. It'd be fun to do, but whatever.
You know, if you're bored and you need somebody to talk to, call the Muskie Shop and ask for John Mikniak.
He'll help you out.
He'll help you out. Call John and say, Johnny boy, tell me about your grouper. How was your grouper? Anyway, other than that, we got some hype to talk about, Jay.
We do?
We got a hype bait. Folks, Musky Shop just made a baller move today on the True Glide guppies.
Yeah, those True Glides look really nice.
So keep an eye out. It's going to be a minute, but when they show up, they're going to be gone. And I say that in, I know they're going to be gone immediately. My buddy from the Netherlands turned me onto these, and we got the Musky Shop for getting them. They are just a super custom glider, which we're going to talk about gliders here in a minute. We got a ton of questions about gliders, so we're going to talk some glide tactics. But I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for a cool glider, it's from Strike Pro. It is the Guppy. They are BA Baracus. I got three of them in the boat right now, and all three have produced fish. They're super easy to use, so keep an eye out for that, Jay. We'll let them know when those do show up.
Yeah, and they're not expensive, and they have that ultra-custom look to it. That's what's really attractive to me. That was my first. I'm like, oh, okay.
They look
like
custom.
All
yeah.
models are going to be under $30.
Right.
And I mean, when you see the paint jobs on, you're going to be like, oh wow. That's really nice.
Well, that's the thing is, like, we've got some, and there's another announcement coming up here shortly about some gliders, and we've got some stupid custom gliders coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, break the bank. You want to spend money on musky baits? We got you, fam. Right? They're coming. That are like, and when I'm not going to say who it is yet, but we have the baddest gliders ever made. Like, I heard about this other zoo site and they've got custom, they ain't got this. Oh no.
some really cool stuff coming.
Right. You might need financing for how cool these are. All right. So,
we got some other, I don't think I told you, we got some cool ones in yesterday. They were supposed to be here in December, and they showed up yesterday.
What are they?
The couple of new Smutley Dog models.
Oh, yeah, these are very
cool. Cedarwood, yeah, soft tail, like a round nose glider, right. like a cob style. Yeah. That's an old, you know, jerkbait style.
West Bog.
And one with a more dropped nose kind of thing called a Crazy Dog.
Crazy.
Those are real nice. They're, you know, just custom, handmade. Mm-hmm. He ran into some production issues and stuff going on, but he got them out to us, and they look fantastic.
Get your Smutley Dog. But, you know, we'll keep you in the glider hype here shortly. Keep an eye out for the True Glide, the Smutley Dog. And like I said, we got some highfalutin. Jody Michael has got the highfalutin gliders coming. You know, if you want your woman to leave you, we got one that she's got ordered in there to the shop that'll definitely get you divorce paper served when you buy 10 of them.
You married a woman that loves glide baits. I mean,
it's a problem.
What a fantastic fit.
When you come here to the bait cave, which is the entire house, is literally there are baits hanging in the living room. That's embarrassing. Like, I just walk them in the house, and there's like a big key rack, and if it needs repaired, like if I cut the hooks, I just hang them with the key rack. Nobody notices. She ran in today. Jay, you were so kind. Muskie Shop treats me better than I deserve. And I got some new swag in the mail today, right?
Yeah. I've been out here filming. Those are Jay's selection.
I've been out here filming for Muskie Shop TV.
Muskie, you got to look cool.
And I got to look.
You got to try to look cool.
I can't look cool. I'm getting too old. I can look like somebody's dad. And
so, getting too old. You're in your 30s.
39.
Barely.
No. We're closer to 40 than 39 at this point. Anyway, and on my 40th birthday, we'll have the $500 crack-free giveaway. Free crack giveaway or whatever. Sorry. Anyway, you know, you sent me some fantastic swag. I like the blue hoodie.
Yeah, me too.
It's a nice royal blue. I look good in blue, according to all the boys down at the boat ramp that are checking me out. And
wow.
Don't you hate it when you're launching your boat and all the guys are whistling at you, Jay?
It's terrible.
It never ends. I'm that attractive. Yeah. Guys are like,
it's not good.
Nice boat, looking good, son. But it's the Muskie Shop apparel. It really is.
He's got a nice boat.
That's a nice boat, and that's one. Ooh, man, that hood is looking good on you. Do you want to? All right, folks, if you want to look sexy at the boat ramp, it's time for you to log on to themuskyshop.com and get some of the sexiest musky apparel in the business. So, that's my on-the-fly plug.
Beautiful.
If you want to look sexy as hell at the boat ramp, get yourself some Muskie Shop apparel. Anyway, that's not where I was going with it, but you're kind enough to send some awesome stuff. And I'm showing Jody Michael, and she opens her package of three white MIPS. You know, that's how it is around the house. You know, it just never ends with the fishing. I don't know where I'm going with that. Anyway, do you know what I was thinking about today, Jay? Sorry, I'm already slurring. Ben Stone.
Ben Stone, yeah.
Ben Stone. Guys, if you are new to the game and you are looking for some absolute bare-bone basics, and there's nothing wrong with that, Ben Stone's been putting out some really good videos. We've got him on the 1&1.
Yeah. I think he put three of them out in about a week's time.
Hold on. I have a special announcement from Jody Michael. She just walked in here and said, Patches.
Jody!
Patches,
hi,
I'm counting on you, son. No, she can't hear you. Jody.
Okay.
She said no.
Here's the scoop. Jody designed a patch, a Muskie Shop patch, and she really likes it.
Here's the deal.
And she wants you to mention it. So
the reason being.
That you're a patch lover.
No, we had enough people ask about the hat from the cover of the catalog. What's up with Steve's hat? I can't find it.
We did.
My hat, I'll tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That hat My head. Okay, I have to make a confession. All right, guys, are you ready?
Yep.
At 3:95. This is a Riverside confession. Cue the sad music. I have a bulbous head.
What does that mean?
When I was born, doctors ran experiments on me because my head was too big. They said, ooh, you have a bulbous head. So I don't like normal hats. I got a case of big head fever. And so I had to take one of my stupid hats and put a Muskie Shop patch on it. That's what's on the cover of that catalog for the guys that are asking. We got a bunch of emails about it.
You custom made that.
Custom paid, baby. So there
not
are
anymore.
Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Now you too can look like that hillbilly idiot on the cover of the Muskie Shop catalog. So we have patches. You can put them on anything. You got an old dirty hat that says Menards on it. Put a patch on it. Your dog's ugly. Put a patch on it.
Mm-hmm.
Backpack. Put a patch on it. Guitar strap. Patch. That's it. The first person that sends me a picture of you putting a patch on something ridiculous, like your guitar strap or your hat or backpack or something, I'll send you some Junior's Inlines. Shoot me a picture. Let me know you bought your patch. We'll figure it out from there. But yeah, we've got the patches because, like I said, in that picture on the cover, that is not a standard issue government gym hat. That is a custom jobby, but we got them now. So you can get your custom Muskie Shop patch for those that care. Jay, back to Ben Stone, right?
Ben Stone.
So,
good guy.
This dude is highly articulate and he can convey a message, and that's what matters. He's got some new videos out on the 101 section of the app. He's got tools of the trade, getting started musky fishing. He's got some basic figure eight stuff and some spring baits. Check that out. Just basically covering all the stuff that you guys are asking in a great, great format in the video format there. Also too, on the front of the app, a bunch of articles up about early season success. You got me, you got Book Daddy, you got Chaz, you got Josh Krieger. What more do you want?
Josh Krieger from
Muskie Shop Guide Service.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Chaz Martin from Tight Pants Incorporated. Joe Booker from Joe Booker Outdoors.
Joe Booker Outdoors.
Got you covered. That was an Uncle Rico joke. Put your Chaz Martins on. It's time to figure eight. There's also another video too, and I'm talking about the app. There was a really good Joe just put a video out, the superior figure eight technique, and that is so true. If you guys are wondering about figure eights, check that out. Chaz has a new article about persistence pays off. But if you're gearing up for the season, check it out. I am rambling. What else do I need to do? Oh, so here's the deal. If you enjoy the podcast, right, Jay? Jay, do you enjoy the podcast?
Every night.
Every night. Jay listens every night to himself on repeat.
Not yours, but I mean, I listen to a podcaster. Oh, yeah.
I meant this one. I listen. You know what?
Okay. You got to be specific with me. Okay. You know how I am.
Got the boomers. Jay texts me every day. Where can a guy find a Ponderosa?
with good dinner rolls.
Who's got the best dinner rolls there in Eagle Ridge? Here's the problem. That's like what we were talking the other day. We were talking about filming after the Muskie Shop bash, and I was talking about driving 30 minutes, and everybody there's like, oh, I ain't driving 30 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Good Lord. I drive 45 minutes one way every day. Anyway, guys, if you don't know yet, we got the YouTube show coming out.
June 1st.
It's a little bit of musky fishing, all right?
Yeah.
And then like 1980s fitness workout video, right? Mixed with like Furby reviews. So me and Jay will sit down. We're going to, on video from the Muskie Shop, review different Furbies. And also we talk about Pokemon cards, right?
No, we
don't. Okay.
We're going to have a teaser video out soon, in a week or two.
Teaser.
Prior to the launch, June 1st launch, I think the first four episodes are ready to go.
They are.
Yep. And, you know, we're deciding which ones to put on there.
The first episode's called Crying in the Boat Alone. And it's just 5 minutes of me sitting in the boat crying.
The first just, episode's just every episode's going to be really good. I'm super impressed with the content and the format of the show.
I prefer.
I'm just being serious now. The format of the show, I think, is spot on. It's really good.
The name of the show is Boat Ramps I've Cried At.
You've said nothing serious in the last 2 minutes.
I'm sorry. Can you imagine? If
people just are like, what is this show really going to be? Is it going to be another dumb
imagine there's a dude and he's just driving around and like he's got a 1989 Ford Ranger and he's just filming it in selfie cam. I'm here at the Sugar Camp boat ramp. I just want to see my kids and sorry, man. Maybe that Heffa wise and their dinner hit hard. Okay, in all seriousness, Musky Shop TV features the dumbest hillbilly I know, myself, and working out with Jay. We're going to do some stuff down where I'm at, and it's not about where we're at. It's about tactics, patterns, and how to work baits. So check it out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. But if you listen regularly, make sure you're already subscribed so we can bother you by saying, hey, we got a new episode out. But this week, if you've not subscribed yet and you comment on one of their videos or send a message and say, hey, you're a new subscriber, you can win a custom painted Phantom. Phantom.
We will give away a custom paint job.
Phantom
Softail.
Softail.
Great glide bait.
Pretty good.
Really good.
What? Really? I'm teasing. What are you going to say to that? What are you guys like? Eh, all right. No, you can't go wrong with the Phantom. So we're going to get a custom painted Phantom out to anybody that's a new subscriber. Yeah, you can lie. I don't care. Or subscribe with another, make a new account. You know,
tell your friends.
Tell your mom. I've already told your mom. Tell your dad. I got your mom's number already. Anyway,
my dad called the other day, and my dad's in his 80s, you know.
He said,
and
Jay, huge disappointment.
No, he didn't say that this time. He said, for a change, I did not. I'm like, you know, when Welcome to Wisconsin, our music video came out, I wasn't super excited to send it to my parents.
Right.
Just because, not that I'm embarrassed, but it's just like that they've never heard that, you know, Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh,
I don't think they'd get it.
Come on.
But anyway, my little nephew played it for my dad at his baseball game, and my dad commented how great it was. He thought it was hilarious.
Well, do you know who commented on
it? It shocked me. I'm like, that's great.
I just hung up on Jay, folks. Hold on. Bear with me. We'll leave this in the podcast because I just touched my phone and it got stupid. Here we go. Ring, ring. Jay.
Yeah, what happened? Hello?
I just hung up on you live on air. So anyway, so you were telling us about how your dad thinks you're a disappointment.
No, he liked the video.
My apologies.
And he thought it was really funny, and that was very much appreciated. So I wasn't sure they'd like that one.
Do you know who liked our video, though?
It has a wide appeal range is what I'm getting at. You know, if you're 84 or if you're, you know, 10.
All I got to tell you is this, is me and Jay reached out because we are rock stars. We reached out to our friend from Whitesnake.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend from the band Striper.
Yep.
And our friend from the band AC/DC. So there is another video coming up soon. Our friends from the band Whitesnake are massive Musky Shop Boys fans. So that's going to be a lot of fun here soon.
Yeah, apparently David Coverdale is too.
David Coverdale.
Still a night.
I'm absolutely flattered.
You know, whatever. Anyway, we have prattled on long enough. Oy vey. So, to touch on basically what is the main topic of questions this week is glide baits. We're talking about the guppy that's coming out. We talked about Jody Michaels' patch also.
Yeah, so, we did.
Another plug for the patch. Get yourself a patch. I will send you a bait if you buy a patch, so I don't have to hear my wife say, no one's buying the patches yet.
She's
talk about
very proud of her patch.
Patches, I'm counting on you, son. Nobody knows the song Patches, do they, Jay?
I don't.
Well, it's a good song. Anyway, okay. It's glide baits. Probably one of the coolest baits in the muskie game. We all know it. We all love them. Do we use them the right way at the right time?
What is a glide bait?
They're under glide baits on your website.
No, I mean, and which is what? Just in case someone's like, okay, what are they talking about? Glide bait.
We are talking about a side-to-side action, left, right, zigzag, walk the dog subsurface, which is your river run mantas, your warlocks, your phantoms, your hellhounds, right? Chaos mini tap dancers.
That's a good one.
Or your shoom shooms, right?
Yep.
All these different baits.
Smitty Mercer Creeks.
Smitty. And, you know, you got all these. You got your glide raiders, your belly droppers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So what do we do with these? And this falls into, and guys, I love it when people send emails to the app that are like, yo, dude, I'm a bait owner, not a bait user. And I don't mean, and it's not like, oh, I know more than you. Shut up. No one cares. But what do we do to use the tools that we have in our toolbox? When, where, and why do I throw a glide bait? So first off the rip, here's what I'm going to tell you.
Yep.
Post-frontal conditions are glide bait conditions in general, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so big storm comes through. Your prefrontal conditions, when things are building up, muskies are hot, your crankbaits, your bucktails, your topwaters are primary condition or primary thoughts, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're saying it's just like, hey, we're catching fish on bucktails.
Right.
We're, you know, then don't throw glide baits. You know, probably stick with the bucktails and the fast moving.
Yeah. Right. There are dark clouds moving in. It looks like musky mecca. It's the best thing you've seen since sliced bread's moving in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Break out your double tins and burn the crap out of them, right? What do you do when the party's over? Okay, so and the best example is let's say we've got a trip planned to Minocqua, Wisconsin, July 17th for the Muskie Shop Bash. We've got a trip planned. And we're going to go to Wisconsin, or we're going to go to Iowa and fish with my friend Tracy Krell. Big shout out to Tracy if you're listening.
Hey, Tracy.
But we're going to go fish some different location. It's not going to be prefrontal all week, right?
Absolutely not.
And you always hear about guys going, well, I'm not catching fish, and we caught the heck out of on Monday, Tuesday, and the rest of the week was bad. Right, it's not always going to be good. That's when I'm thinking gliders. When it is high, bright sun, there's a lack of wind. Conditions are poor. It has cooled down, right? Surface temps have dropped. Even if it's just an infinitesimal drop in surface temps, it can make a difference. So
that is your number one scenario for breaking out a glider.
Right. There's some other stuff that we can throw out there, but that is the wind. Okay. Things are not the best that they could be. That is glider time. Now, with that being said, the caveat could be made that sometimes fish are negative or neutral due to barometric pressure that is not necessarily prefrontal, postfrontal, but there's weird stuff going on, or seasonality. But I'm talking about musky season has opened up north and things are going on. The one thing I can tell you, and I'm going to do it again this summer, walked up to Wisconsin fishing high-pressure bodies of water and popped some really big fish on gliders. If you remember the story about me and Guru out there, and there's a guy standing in the gunwale of his boat throwing a pounder in the middle of the lake like he had been eating lead paint for a living, right? And everybody else, it sounded like it's remember that end of that topwater shootout where Elmer's going blop, 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 blop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's dead flat, calm, high, bright sun, and all I'm hearing is topwaters going off like cannons. So it has a time and a place regardless of the habitat range. So When do I throw a glider? When other things are not working. The way I work through the course of a day, right? And there's an old adage or an old thing I read, and I can't take credit for it. Steve Hiding said at one point, he said, I fish as fast as the fish will let me.
Yeah.
Right? That was his big thing. He's wrong. I'm kidding. Just teasing. No. That is a great.
I fished with Steve Hiding several times.
Well, he's wrong.
He's a good stick.
No, I'm teasing.
Yeah, he always outfishes me. I'll tell you that much.
Not me.
Anyway,
well, listen, Steve versus Steve. I'm teasing. No, what I was joking. I like what he's having to say about the open musky season up there, which is fish as fast as you can so you can cover as much water as possible, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Right.
That thought, that approach is sound.
Right. At a certain point, however, we have gone around. Let's say we've gone around 4 prime areas where we have seen fish before in the past, and nothing is happening. Right. We have topwatered, we have bucktailed, and possibly crankbaited around 4 prime areas, and nothing is happening. Go back through those and think about a glider. I'm trying to at least give you a starting point mentally on, what do I do now? Nothing's happening. That is a glider kind of presentation. So what you need to do is the when to throw a glider is when other things are not clicking. It's amazing how a glide bait, whether it be a Phantom, whether it be a Hellhound, I like the Chaos Kodiak round nose. I'll tell you right now, an overlooked bait is that LMP Undertaker and the Pallbearer. Yeah,
that's a real slow retrieve one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like you said, the Smutley Dog round nose are cob baits. For you,
yeah,
West Virginia hillbillies.
Cool.
But with that being said, have that in your box when other things are not clicking. I cannot tell you the amount of big fish I've caught during crap conditions. Right? And it's all about glide baits. When do you throw them? Like I said, I'll reiterate one time. Don't wait till you're sitting in the cabin going, why didn't we catch a fish? Right?
You talked about the guys that, you know, fish 5 days. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
They were fishing 5 days, you know, and they had the variety of weather going through, and all of a sudden comes, you know, post-frontal, and they're still, you know, running the same play.
Well, and
they're still, you know what I mean? They're still burning double eights.
Right. Well, and that's transcendent of our sport. We get a pattern. I mean, I find myself doing it guiding. Yeah. Where, you know, literally yesterday I caught a really quality fish. And of course, what am I starting with the next day? Right.
Yeah.
I tell my clients that my life is like that movie, Groundhog's Day from Bill Murray. It's the same day, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got to make changes. You got to have to address that. So focusing back on when, let's say we got a pattern and things change. That's a glide bait. That's when I'm going to gliders. When the cloud cover changes, that's when I'm going to gliders. When the wind shift, going to gliders. Have them out, have them ready, have them in your arsenal. Again, most of you guys know this. Freaking put your fingers in your ears and hum. Whatever you got to do. But there's a lot of people that have not experienced that, where pulling out a glider will save a trip. Okay? With that being said, if we're focused on post-frontal fishing, or if you don't identify the weather pattern, identify the lack of activity. Okay? Let's say, Jay, there's a lake me and you both know that is this super topwater lake, right? I'll leave it at that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And we go out to super topwater lake, and we fish for 3 hours and nothing happens. Is it us or is it the fish? Right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to make an assessment what we need to do. At that juncture, you need to go, nothing I'm doing is working thus far. Do not continue to do what I am doing.
Mm-hmm. Change it up.
So you've got to break that habit of, I'm going to throw a bucktail until my arm falls off or I catch a fish. You've got to be willing to rotate these baits through. Those are some of the wins, right? Where? Okay. to cover whatever it is and ask them, where do I throw glide baits? The same places you're throwing your bucktails, right? Let's say we got a weed edge. If you're fishing the weed edge and the muskies are not responding to bucktails, throw your gliders at the weed edge. If you're fishing reefs, they work on reefs. They're going to work on break lines. They're going to work on sand. They're going to work over mud. Do the same passes that you're doing. We're not getting into the ninja level stuff where we're breaking off onto the next break line, but don't be afraid to, like, let's say we make a pass and we're on Topwater Lake and we go by one of these illustrious weed beds that always produce fish. And we go past our number one grade A spot, right, Jay? Like the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we fish it and nothing happens. Turn right back around and make that same pass with a glide bait. And things can change. That's what I'm going to encourage you to focus on. Make that pass. You can really break down a pattern real quick. So let's say we go.
I've seen you do that on the Muskie Shot TV show.
Yep.
In editing this video stuff, which I've been working on daily, basically. Yep. I've watched some of this footage, this raw footage, and, you know, trying to compile it. In doing that, you have to rewatch stuff a lot more than you probably want to.
Yeah. No joke.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, what you're doing is, I've seen you make incredibly short casts,
mm-hmm,
multiple times, and produce fish out of it that way. Pretty interesting. I think most people would have been like, move on.
There's,
you know,
a great.
We just fished the spot. Keep on going. Let's cover some water. It's like, no. This is a good area, and we haven't worked it effectively enough. And let's change it up and go anyway.
You're thinking. I think the ones you're thinking of are Musky Bama and the Musky Phantom,
and I think Tap Dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weren't you pitching?
Yeah. That is. There is a fish, folks, and I'm going to tell you. And trying to convey as much information as possible. I hope we're not rambling too much, but it's a Gungasaurus Rex.
Yeah, it's a monster.
That is, I would say, cast 4 or 5 within the same 5 or 6 foot area.
Yeah, it's so cool.
There's something to be said about saturation casting. You've heard me say it before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is the difference, and this has nothing to do with glide baits, but here's your ninja level tip of the day, right? No bait change will save you if your patterning sucks. If you're throwing where there are no muskies, nothing will change the outcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I am doing, and I am focused on, is patterning number one. Where are they and why? Once I have figured that out, then it is a war of attrition. If I make enough casts, it will eat. I work through spots so slow that my trolling motor, after a freaking 10-hour day of guiding, I come home with plenty of battery. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't burn gas and I don't burn batteries. I go, refer back to a couple podcasts back where we're talking about patterning.
Mm-hmm.
Apply that roughly to your body of water and go, this is where they're at. Now I need to get one to eat. And I can't stress that enough. It's like I'm going on a tangent here. But all the baits in the world, if I gave you every bait in the bait cave and said, go throw them. If you do not know where muskies are going to be in their habitat range, right? You don't know where they're going to be on rivers. You don't know where they're going to be on lakes. You don't know where they're going to be in reservoirs. All the baits in the world cannot get you a fish if you're not working them effectively where muskies will be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that being said, what Jay's referring to, some of these videos you're going to see is a musky Bama is another one, dude. Actually, I think I take me a little pee-pee break and make the same cast I just made seconds before, I believe, in that video. I know we're not going to show that, but I'm sure you've seen that where I go one side of the boat and I make the exact same cast I just made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's within a foot. And that is just from confidence in this is where the fish are. I just need to beat their brains out until one of them reacts.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, Tap Dancer fish, you're editing a video, there's a nice load in the toad fish, very similar scenario. So with that being said, what we're talking about when it comes to glider tactics are, we're assuming you know where the fish are. Once you know where they're at, using gliders is the best way to get these fish up when they're negative or neutral. The only caveat I'd throw in there would be a tube as well, right? And that would be one that's rigs or this mid-shallow kind of thing. And I know a bunch of guys send messages about, hey, we want to see this duck weight thing you're doing for the tubes. I will get you a video here very shortly together working on it. But basically, when we're covering the when, where, and why on the glide baits, where you're fishing are the same places. I'm not assuming. Let's say it's July in Wisconsin, right, Jay?
Okay.
And we just had a nice storm roll through. And before that storm, they were eating Lake X fat bastards, and they were eating bucktails like there was no tomorrow, right? But then the storm is over. And all we have, only thing that's different is we have high bright skies, a little less wind. It's a little bit different, right? We have a higher level of light penetration. It's not a drastic enough change for these fish to go out to the 20-foot break like the people that are out there throwing pounders, losing their minds. Gliders are a great way to capitalize on those fish that are slightly negative or neutral, a little bit more sluggish, that are on the same areas that you were originally during the typical musky season, May through November kind of thing, right? I'm not talking winter glider techniques. I'm talking Wisconsin glider, Minnesota glider things. Okay, the other things I can throw in here to gliders, and I'm trying to cover as much turf as possible here, folks, would be, once you learn how to work a glider, let's say I pick up a 7-inch Phantom, right? Super common glider, the 6-inch softtail, the 7-inch softtail, those are probably the most common as well with like the Hell Puppy and the standard Hellhound.
Yeah.
Those are pretty easy to get a cadence out of. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.
Yeah, for sure.
The kiss of death. And what makes you a glider owner and not a glider musky catcher is once you learn how to get that bait to do the zigzag dance is you're not pausing enough. Right?
Yeah.
I have a lot of clients and a lot of friends and a lot of people I fish with that pick up a glider and they treat it like it is a posed giant jackpot and they're working the crap out of it. Right?
Zing, 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 zing. Just bring it right in.
We are self-defeating at that point.
Yeah. Okay. There's got to be a pause in there somewhere.
When we are fishing gliders under what I consider to be glider conditions, it is all about the pause. It is all about stopping that bait and letting it hang, whether that bait is suspending a little bit or it's slow falling. We are trying to trigger fish that are not interested in fast-moving topwater bucktails and crankbaits. Let's not use our glide baits as if they were a bucktail alternative, right? They're not a interchange. Well, bucktails aren't working, so I'm going to throw a glider. I'm going to move them fast. Fish your gliders in a medium to slow pace, and you're going to see your catch rate go through the roof, right? It is all about suspension. Bop, bop, pause. Bop, 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 pause, right? That's my typical play. 1-2, stop. 1-2-3, stop. 1-2-3, stop. 1-2, stop. Don't get that bait. And Booker said it one time in a video I thought was so good. He said, I got the bait working and it's feeling good. It's going 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, left, right, left, right, all the way to the boat. Well, all you've done is you've accomplished proving you can work the glide bait left to right. You've not added what we would call a triggering aspect to that retrieve.
Yeah, don't try to hypnotize them. Try to tick them off.
And that's one thing. You said that, and I'm sitting here looking at the website, and I see River Run Mantas, and man, do I hear people going, all that does is hypnotize muskies. It moves the crap out of them, but they won't eat it. Well, that's because they get those river runs going, and they never stop them. Right?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Yeah.
You can probably you can get a muskie to come look at that. Is he going to come in and go boom? No.
Yeah, same thing with the giant jackpot. You know, it's like if you never stop that bait, it's a good search bait.
I'll tell you right now, biggest topwater fish I've ever seen was 56 inches that came on a post giant jackpot on Eagle Lake.
That's that one you with your magic retrieve you worked.
No, that was a different fish.
That's your top secret Steve Paul retrieve thing.
No, that's on a different bait. This is on the pose. Yeah.
Okay.
However, that fish, the trick with pose, and this might as well be just interjecting. If you own a jackpot or a weagle, learn how to leave enough play in your line to get that thing to bounce in place.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make it bounce in its own wake, you're going to get eaten. And it will be violent. And what I mean by that is action without advancement.
Yeah, do a little dance in the water. Just like Elmer after a bass solo.
After he is just ready to party down.
Right, right.
A lot of times when it comes to, in a tangential statement yet again, side-to-side topwaters and your glide baits are not that divergent in action, it often is about the pause with the pose giant jackpot. It's about, if I can get that thing to bounce in its own wake, watch out, I'm going to catch every one of them. And I've caught some schlubs in Canada on that bait. And so, with that being said, is make those baits bounce in place. I can't tell you the amount of phantom fish, and there's a quick tip I did with the guru where I caught an absolute giant last year on a 6-inch phantom softtail. I was working it so slow in post-frontal conditions, it was ridiculous. Right? Pop, pop, pause. Pop, pop, pause. Right? We're trying to make that presentation as easy as possible for a muskie to grab. If they're not hot, don't work the baits hot. That's why I was talking about the hiding thing about fish as fast as you can. Once we have determined that the fish are no longer hot, then we need to do things that are not hot presentations. That is a kiss of death with gliders. Right? Get a feel for them. One thing that I notice all the time, especially I have this advantage in guiding where I get to spend a lot of time with different anglers or different skill sets and different backgrounds. There are gliders that are right for some people's feel, and there are gliders that are wrong for certain people's feel. So you need to go through some gliders and go, can I work this well? It's not about the action. They're all going to go side to side, right? They're all going to have different rates of fall, but some people are like, phantoms aren't for me, but I'm a hellhound guy. It doesn't matter. As long as you're working them slow enough, you're going to get that action, right? Finding a glider that fits your fishing style. Jay, in that video with the mini tap dancer you're doing, I'm working that in a combination with rod taps, and when I get close to the bait, it's a reel tap thing.
Yeah, right. Reel retrieve. Yeah, mm-hmm. I noticed that, yeah.
And so with these different small gliders, a lot of times the rod's too much action, so you can actually use your reel. That was the beauty of the original David French Shum Shums. You've got this big glider, you can just work with turns of the handle. Mm-hmm, so find a bait that you can work well, right? Now you're going to say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that you are in tune with what that bait is doing. Right? So, and I mean, like, I know, I can tell you what direction my bait is pointed. I can tell you where it's at in the water column, depending on different glide baits. It's not a guesstimation of what that bait's doing, right? To the point of, let's say I know there's a stump. I'm comfortable enough with a hellhound or a phantom or a litany of other baits that I can walk glide baits around certain cover. Get in tune with those baits and go, well, if I give it two hard lefts and one soft right, and, you know, I'm going to be able to move that bait 3 feet this way and bring it around a stump or bring it around the edge of the weed bed.
Cool. You can notice that exactly in that video. I think it's a tap dancer one. I mean, you're throwing right into deadfalls.
Mm-hmm. And go, and a lot of that is this. This is another ninja move for you. Don't own and earmuffs Jay. Jay works at the shop.
Earmuffs.
You don't need to own every glide bait. You need to find the one that works for you. The reason being is once you're in tune and dialed in with certain baits, you're going to have the confidence to throw it into a deadfall and go, if I go, and you'll see it. You'll see that the first tap needs to be a hard one and get it going. The next one needs to be soft to the right and hard to the left, and I'll avoid this tree limb.
Mm-hmm.
Find the glider that fits the way you fish. Right? So as long as it's going left to right and it's got some wobble in the fall, it's good enough for me. I'm not too particular. There are some gliders, when, like I was joking earlier, talking earlier, we got some glide baits coming to the Muskie shop that are so ultra custom, your heads are going to explode. Right? These are not that you've not seen other custom gliders as bad as these. And you know the brand name. I'm not even going to say it, but we got the baddest of the bad coming. You don't have to have those. You can take a 7-inch Phantom. You got to assume that everybody else doesn't know how to work a glide bait worth shit. So you've got the only good working bait in the lake. Getting in tune with that bait is going to do you wonders, because at that point you go, all right, the sink rate on this bait is, let's say, 1 foot a second. Seems general.
Fairly common.
Right.
Yeah.
You can contour the top of the weeds once you understand the patterning.
Absolutely. Right in the weeds.
Right.
Glide baits are, misunderstood, right in the weeds.
Right in the trash, right in the crack.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying about being dialed in and in tune with your bait. You go, the weeds are 2 feet down. I know if I go at this pace, at this speed, with this power of taps, that I'm going to be in the clear the whole time.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the amount of fish I have caught by going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, stop and do it in a hole. Right? I've identified there's a hole in the weeds. And if I stop that glide bait over that hole, I'm basically already positioned to set the hook because I know he's coming out. That is where you want to get with glide baits, where you go, I know how this bait's going to run. I know its running depth because I've spent the time with it, appropriate times and appropriate retrieves, where I can give it the big old pause where it needs to pause. There's also a video, I think it's Hang Time Muskies, one of Joe's older videos, him and Chaz. Chaz makes a cast to a piece of timber, right? He's throwing a glide rater, and he throws to this piece of timber, and he goes, 1, 2, 3, pause, back into the boat, and he's done.
You know what they call that in Tennessee?
What?
Steve Pauls.
Steve Pauls. Steve Pauls. Joe looks at him, and he goes, let it hang by that branch.
Mm-hmm.
Chaz does as he's told. And goes, bump, 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 stop. Boom. Fish grabs it.
Cool.
That's what you need to be thinking about. Where do I pause these baits? What makes sense? Like I said, that involves your patterning. That involves your thought process. I know I've been soapboxing on that, but that's the best glider advice I have. I've gotten so many emails. We've gotten so many emails this week about gliders. The next big thing, and I'll shut up here in a second. What glider do I need? I just said it. Find a glider that works with the way you fish. Right? If you really just pull way too hard and you are just a freaking powerhouse, you can't back off, hellhound. Right? If you got finesse, that's a shum-shum or a mini tap dancer. Find the glide bait that works for you. I don't really think, and people argue till they're blue in the face, is one glider better than the other? Right? The only thing that's different in glide baits is their rate of fall.
Yeah, body shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, some have a little bit more wiggle than others.
Right. But, at that point, if we're more about the paws, I mean, heck, give me a slammer belly drop. Get me a hellhound. I'll catch a muskie anywhere there is.
Like you said, they're all doing predominantly the same thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
There's nuances. Don't get me wrong. But
go to the muskie. If you get on muskyshop.com, look on the left, there's a section called glide baits. Click on that. There they are. It's an easy choice.
Right.
Take a look and read up on a couple of them and see what might fit you.
And at the end of the day, what matters is that you have confidence in that bait and you have confidence that you can retrieve it. You know what it's going to do. That's what I'm pounding here. Jay, I am so sorry for rambling so much. Let's go ahead.
That's good stuff.
Cover that Q and A.
Q&A.
Rick says, what terminal tackle do I need to keep in my boat? What items do you guys keep in your boats to fix baits and lures on the fly? Wow, that's a cool question. Jay, we mentioned, you guys have a hook kit, right?
The hook kit is what it's called. Yep. It's a small Plano pack of assorted sizes of hooks and split rings for all your hook snipping repairs than you might need to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's well, that's a big thing if you're cutting hooks trying to save impact on fish.
Yeah.
Having that on hand.
Got to have that stuff handy. Especially when you got a hot bait, you know, you got to get it back into action as soon as possible.
Well, and that would say, I would say, like, I'm going to have the hook kit. So I keep one of the hook kits around. Maybe, and it doesn't matter that bad. I mean, you could really crawl into the minutiae of it, but have some, like, generic size split rings laying around. Like, a, what would you say, like, an average size split ring is, Jay? Like a 5 or 6?
Yeah, 6 or 7.
Okay, 6 or 7.
Fives for the small hooks.
Yeah. Have a handful of those laying around. I keep hooks, a few split rings, because I've had fish, like, wallop baits, and split rings are a little bit like, ugh. And you go, man, I don't want to. You want to like change it out. So you might even.
Yeah, there's a bunch in the hook kit. So that'll get you covered.
Gotcha.
So
you got your split rings.
You got to have a hook cutter.
Well,
you got to have a hook. You got to have a hook cutter. Nip-X are the best.
That's it, period.
There's not. Yeah, just absolutely period. There's not a Nip-X owner that would ever buy anything else.
Period. But I like to have heat shrink on board too.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get a fish on a bucktail and let's say they got to replace the hook or, you know, the heat shrink's all gnarly on a bucktail, so it'll keep it from fouling as much. So hooks, split rings, heat shrink, what else? Terminal. I do keep a extra little spool line on the boat just in case something stupid happens. It's rare that I got to do it.
Right.
But I've like had gnarly trolling snags or, you know,
a really bad backlash.
Right. Yeah. Something bad. Yeah. Have some extra line on board, but that would be like the ones that I think of off the top of my head. Just an assortment of hooks, assortment of split rings, heat shrink.
Extra leaders. If he's talking terminal tackle, have some extra snaps
that on board. One thing we were just talking gliders, man, I like having extra tails in the boat. Super glue. I've done it before where you go out there and you're nailing fish and you go, oh, I lost my tail. And it can change the action on a bait a little bit enough that it matters. So have some extra tails laying around, whether it be phantom tails or Kalen's grubs. Kalen seems to be like used on a lot of baits. So I like to, I usually have some like white, black Kalen's grubs laying around and some gold and white phantom tails on hand with some super glue. You can use the Pros soft glue, which a lot of guys like to have the Pros soft glue just there for bulldogs as well.
Yeah.
Which is maybe not terminal tackle, but I like to keep a little butane torch on the boat too.
Yeah. Soft plastic repairs in general.
Yeah.
It'll come in handy.
Right. Whether it be for the soft plastics, you can use that on the heat shrink too, and it'll work with the wind. But it's always a good idea, man. I've seen a lot of days on the water where people, like, you know, we'll have the one hot bait and then the hot bait's done for, you know, and you're like, ugh. You know, and you're like trying to steal hooks off of another bait and it's just never the same. So that would be the run down there. Parker says, this one's for Steve. Oh, he said, sorry, Jaybird, tweet, tweet. Steve, how did you know you wanted to be a guide, and did you go to college or anything to get experience before continuing on to a guide as a or a job as a guide? Wow.
Okay, I'll handle this one. Okay.
Go for it.
No, go,
you can
even
answer it.
Yeah, you went to college.
I did.
Yeah, I think we both did. Steve's quite the accomplished collegiate.
He
doesn't like to talk about it, so I'm not going to.
No, we're not going to throw that out there. There is not a degree that will help you be a muskie fishing guide. I definitely fall into the category of people that did not apply themselves. That's how I ended up being a muskie fishing guide.
So, man,
if you've ever heard the statement, stepping over dollars to pick up dimes, that is what being a muskie guide is. No, I mean, I have subsequently taken some courses on fisheries biology and done some things along that lines just for my own fun, I guess. I don't like talking about myself in that sense too terribly much. I'll say this.
Well, you've rubbed shoulders with, you know, the best. I mean, you know, you've spent a lot of time in the boat with Joe Booger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to rub off on you.
Joe definitely has rubbed off on me multiple times. I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, it's just, to be honest with you, for me, it was a really organic process. Man, just one of those things people were asking.
Well, your dad taught you to fish. Right. I mean, mine too.
Grandfather,
he used to take me. Yeah, you know, when you're a kid, you know, and I feel sorry for anybody that's interested in it that didn't have that experience growing up. You know,
I would say there's no okay. So he's basically asking if I had any experience like leading up to it. Yeah, it was around a bunch of musky guides. And around musky fishing nonstop since I was knee high to a grasshopper. Mm-hmm. So that would be my own experience. And it just was systemic of people going, hey, man, will you take me and show me what you're doing? I went, I can do this. So that would be about it. You know, it's never anything. I didn't have a plan. It just all sort of happened. Mitch says, what bump boards do you guys use? Fair enough. I currently do not use a bump board. I actually still use, you know, the Musky Shop float rulers, Jay. You ever seen one of those? I'm using those again in my new boat. I sort of went, you know, I'm going to avoid bumps as much as possible. The only time I personally measure a fish is when I think we're at that 48 plus range.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those Booker things where Joe hasn't measured a fish in a lot of years. Pete hasn't measured a fish in a lot of years. I'm trying to reduce stress in general. Okay. And it's just where I'm at. We were talking about guiding 5 seconds. It's just where I'm at in my guiding career. I always tell clients I'm not going to be off more than just a fraction. You know, I've seen a lot of these things. So if I say it's 44 and a half and we end up measuring, it's going to be 44 and a half plus or minus a half quarter, who cares? Now in certain circumstances, we might break out the bump for a big fish, but I like Jay, what's the new bump board there at the Musky Shop?
Wreck and rack. Yeah. Those are super high quality. Those are real nice.
You know, and they've got the slime protection, everything. And I'm not knocking it. I'm not. It is it to each their own. If you want to bump a fish, do it. If you do not want to, don't do it. There you go. You know, so I'm not right. Right. I'm not here to talk about, oh, this, that, or the other. I mean, we could.
There's different levels of bragging rights, you know.
I'll say this.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, that's, you know, it's nice to know exactly how big it is, you know, especially as you gain experience in the sport.
I'll say this, and this opens up the can of worms, but who cares? The one thing that drives me nuts is just a lot of times, like, it's got to be like, I have to take a bump board picture to prove to people on Facebook how big it was. A, nobody on Facebook cares. They're actually probably just jealous. And if you have to prove via a photograph that you are credible, then there's an issue. Right?
Mm.
Think about it. You are basically saying, I don't have the credibility, therefore I must show you a picture to reiterate what I said, that this was truly a 41-inch fish. Who cares, man? Don't worry about stuff like that. I have a love-hate relationship with the term personal best, right? But one thing that I can identify with in that statement is personal. Who cares?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Personal best. You beat Louis Spray, cool. Make sure you measure that thing, right? I don't know if there's enough sandbags in the world to beat Louis. I don't know. I don't know where anybody falls on that issue, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't worry about it. I mean, like, I like bump boards. I think they're an awesome tool. They're definitely a necessity in tournaments. That new Wrecking Rack is 100% like probably the most conservation friendly bump board on the market. It's a wonderful bump board. But where I'm at is like, you know what, man, get a float ruler, or if you got to measure, do it the safest way that you can. Do with the least impact on the fish, but don't do it because you want to tell other people. No one cares.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of pretty much all the social media posting for the Muskie Shop, you know, for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And, you know, at times when people send in fish pictures, sometimes they volunteer pretty detailed information, like even where they caught it and when, and especially how big it is, length mm-hmm. of the fish. It's like, I tend to not put that in there.
Right.
I shouldn't ever put that in there, you know, because it's like, what ends up is you get some people on there that are just, I don't know, they're all wrapped up with, you know, wanting to disprove you for some reason. And so, you know, here's a monster fish caught by so-and-so.
Yeah,
you know,
don't feed the beast, man. There's so many assholes out there. I'll just say it like it is. They're worried about, oh, that's not. Dude, I got so many other positive things going on in my life that I really don't care what your opinion of one of my fish is.
opinion of my fish, exactly.
Don't care. Not losing sleep over you idiots, I'll tell you that much. You know, when it comes to that. Jay, I mean, it's all perspective, too. And this opens the can of worms about, like, I've heard people brought up, well, I saw this guy's video, and I don't like the way he takes pictures of the fish because it makes them all look big, right?
It makes them look big, or there's no way it's that size.
Who cares?
Or it's just like, oh, come on.
You're sitting there on the toilet at work.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Well, in one of your videos, you're fishing with a dude that is Tim, awesome
Tim,
guy. Obviously, you know him.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
6'7".
6 foot
okay?
seven.
Yeah, I mean, the guy can be holding a huge fish, which he is in one of the videos
yes,
or more.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's probably going to be some people saying, that didn't look very big. The guy's 6'7", okay?
Oh, my God, I know. It's like, I'm
six. And there's certain other, you know, legendary muskie fishermen that are much smaller in stature,
right.
And it's perspective.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, my friends, and if you listen to the podcast, you're pretty cool, and you know you're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Don't worry about those people. Laugh at them, right? When they get off working third shift at the ding-dong factory, making ding-dongs all night, and they want to make a comment about how big or how small your fish is, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? I mean, just don't turn the sport into about, like, I have to prove that everybody this was truly a 38. Who gives a rat's? That's what I'm Mr. Tangent tonight. But like I said, for tournament purposes, get a Wrecking Rack. And if you want to know, Wrecking Rack's a great board. That's the only one I would use because it does help the fish. But we're making social commentary at this point of, you know what? Who cares? That's where I'm at. William Brasky, that sounds like a fake name, says, so my extremely, oh, man. He says, so I have a cousin. I can't read this whole thing. So I have a cousin who wants to know if the Muskie meteorologist will be at the Muskie Shop Olympics.
Ooh.
He says, what's the Muskie meteorologist OnlyFans handle? Meow. He might be, Jay.
I thought I heard he was coming down for it. So
he might
be.
I might screenshot that email and send it to you because it's pretty funny. All right. Kevin wants to know, I know you guys like 9-foot rods. Why do you prefer longer rods? I'm only 5'10". Is a 9-footer too big for my frame?
No.
No. I
think you'll be happy with a 9.
I here's the thing. I mean, if you're like freaking out of a kayak, yeah, it's going to be an issue, but
I
like 9-footers on a general boat. It's just going to help your back. I mean, you know, I have all my clients throwing 9-foot rods. They vary in height from kids to every size.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Save your body. It's a long day on the water, you know?
Right. It's going to help your lower back, and you're going to be able to cast better. And like I said, it's not about, maybe the casting distance is about a very good figure eight mechanic. Whether you're trying hard or not, that bigger rod's going to make your life easy. I don't think I, 5'10", I mean, if you're shorter than that, we might get into that discussion that you might want an 8'6" still if you're like 5'5" or something like that, or, you know, but yeah, you'd be fine. It like I said, it takes a little bit of adjustment. It changes casting accuracy. It changes a few things, but once you get a hang of it, you go, man, I'm not doing that micro bend all day long and my lower back's not killing me.
Well, if you're at the Muskie Shop Bash this summer, the cool thing is you get to try out different length rods with different reels on them, all spooled up, ready to fire, and
ready
see what you
to
like.
Rock.
It's gonna be awesome.
Pawsome. John says, "Will."
Uh-oh.
I know who this is.
Okay. Not Johnny McNiack.
No, different person. John says, "Will there be sparkling water available at the Muskie Shop Bash?" He says, asking for a friend who's a Ranger owner. He said, P.S., in addition to the Joe Pooker Pinto jump, how about a 1980s-style wrestling cage match between Muskie Shop employees? Tag team rules apply. Hashtag Uncle Rico. Yes, there will be sparkling water on hand for all Ranger owners. Correct, Jay?
I guess.
If you come to the Muskie Shop Bash and you can prove you own a Ranger, we will provide you with sparkling water. Because obviously, if you are of that kind of discerning taste in boats, you would not drink water from Triggs. Agreed?
It has to have the bubblies.
Listen.
High-class water. High-quality H2O.
I'll spring for a case of LaCroix from the gas station for any Ranger owners in attendance. You just let me know. We'll have Jay, we could get some velvet rope and like make a little section for the Ranger owners VIP. What do you think?
I have a little sign there. Right, just his lone table.
Ranger owners only. We'll have Fred. We'll be your waiter. He'll bring you LaCroix sparkling water or Perrier, your choice, as long with a cheese tray.
Oh, welcome to Wisconsin.
You have to prove you own a Ranger for the special Ranger owners. That's it, Jay. July 17th at the Muskie Shop Bash, the Ranger owners VIP. We've got to get some of these like movie theater ropes. You know, like the velvet ropes and everything.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I will do it. We will get, if Uncle Rico says he's coming to this thing, I will get a red carpet.
Uncle Rico, he's from the Twin Cities, isn't he?
He is. Uncle Rico's over there busting skulls. Jack B. Just bought my first boat and don't know what to do for electronics. It's a Fishhawk 16 with a 35, so not a huge boat, but I really don't know what to go with. Would you recommend for around the $600 through $100 range plan on buying used to get the most out of my budget?
Ooh, Hummingbird has a new 50-inch screen out on their Helix 6000. It is awesome. I mean, you put that in there, it absolutely dials you in instantly to everything that's going on.
Everything. You literally have a stock ticker at the bottom. Dude, I'll say this. I was freaked out on the new Steve Paul mobile the other day.
Why?
That my phone connected via Bluetooth and my texts were popping up on my Fish Finder.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You can do that?
Yeah, that was disturbing. I don't need clients seeing that. It's just like,
especially if you get a text from me.
Yeah, no joke. It's like, Jay's like, check out my new underwear. What do you think?
Wow.
I don't know. But with that being said, yeah, you don't want your text popping up on the Fish Finder when you're driving down the lake. Here's what I would say. I am a big fan. If I'm going with a 16-footer, let's say that we're going to go with a fish finder, right?
For the console. Okay, console.
If you're fishing solo a lot of times, you may not need two. I would focus most of my budget on a singular unit for the console. And you go, well, what if I'm contouring lines? Look down, right? You're going to have enough of an idea, you know. So let me look here. I don't want to speak out of school because everything has gone up as far as used electronics because of all the supply chain stuff.
Yeah. You run a Hummingbird, one of those new Hummingbirds, right?
I'll tell you what, and this will get me in trouble. I would go back to my Lowrance in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I was about to tell this dude, I'm looking right now, they got, there's Lowrance Gen 2s, there's a 7 for $289, there's a HDS Gen 3, I mean, I'm looking at eBay. You've got a lot of different options for one generation back on electronics at a pretty dang good price, right? If I'm budget minded, here's what I've noticed with the Hummingbird stuff, and I know a lot of everybody, you get a lot of guys listening run Hummingbird, so don't hate me. What drives me batty about Hummingbird is that I can't go backwards on the fish finder. Maybe somebody can tell me and be like, listen, dude, you're an idiot, and I would love you forever if you can explain to me how I can be running my just down scan and be able to go backwards into it, right? That's a big thing for me. So, especially if I'm trying to go, was that a muskie or not, or how deep was he? You know, I can scroll backwards and go, oh, that fish was at 7 feet. Well, I need to make sure my baits are running 6. So that's one thing that I preferred on the Lowrance.
Is your current unit, is that side imaging or what does it have?
Buddy, mine could freaking, I think I can project images on the moon with what I have right now. It's ridiculous. I've got the iPilot links, and I've got the sides and the megas and the mega sides. And
so, like, tell me when you're fishing rivers and you're rolling up on that deadfall, and it's like you got the side imaging on, is it helpful? Is it amazing? Or
I'll say this, and
is it distracting?
I don't look.
Yeah.
I tell clients this, and it's just a fact. And if you've been on my boat, you heard me say it before. Those are for you to feel confident in what I'm doing, because I don't look at them. I don't care. I mean, in all honesty, the only time I'm paying attention to my fish finder is when I'm trolling or I'm looking for open water bait fish in a basin. That's why I was saying about the console one. So when I'm up on the trolling motor, buddy, I'll say this. Muskies are a shallow water, low light predator in general, right? Mm-hmm. We can agree that in typical, they're in the shallow zone. Typically, they're a low light fish. Most of the time, we're not even getting a look at them. You're not going to see that fish up in the weed bed on your side scan unless you stare at that side scan all day long. If he's buried, if his face is narrowly in the edge of the weeds, you ain't going to see him. You can do a lot of time. You can waste a lot of time Nintendo fishing. Now, I know here in a year or two, I'm going to eat crow on that, and I'm going to be decked out with the craziest crap on earth on the boat. But right now, I don't find it to be that beneficial. I find it to be a time waster. So what I look for in a fish finder is accurate depth, accurate temp, right? So give me water temp, give me depth, and give me mapping. I would be looking for a budget-friendly fish finder, I'm going to look for a unit that has good maps. I'm going to look for a unit that has a transducer that doesn't blow out. I've had my boat since February. I'm on transducer number 2.
Man.
Right? I've had the same Lowrance transducer for 5 years. Okay? So that's a point. I'm not saying I'm sure I will fall in love with my Hummingbird stuff for too long. Again, I'm not a big electronics guy because I just go, it's not worth the headache. Get something rock solid. Get the best console when you can get your hands on. With that being said, put it at the console and fish out the back of the boat. You don't need 2 units at that point. So if you're doing the guide thing and you're fishing out of the back of the boat, and you've got your transducer in the back of the boat, now you know where you're at. You have your mapping, your depth, your temp, everything. I will say this, here shortly with, you know, Garmin's got the LiveScope stuff that's insane. There's a lot of electronic advancements that are going to be coming out for you guys that are like big into electronics. That next gen of electronics is going to be insane. It's going to revolutionize fishing, I guarantee it. Right? I've been on boats with LiveScope. It is frightening. Right now, I'm not there. I don't want to spend the money because I'm not going to live on the cutting edge of technology and bleed money. Right now, we're focused on a guy that wants to have a budget-minded fish finder. So don't write the email and say, well, you don't know how to use the mega side. Yeah, I do. I also know how to catch them without it. So, if I needed a budget-friendly unit, I'm going to go with a Gen Back with that low-rinse HDS Gen 2. The reason I like that, the parts are modular. You can buy just about any part you need, put it at the console, spend the most money on one fish finder, put it at the console, you can see it. Back in my days before I was a guide, I'll tell you what I used to do also, because I didn't want to spend a bunch of money on two fish finders. As I would leave the friggin' screws on the side loose and flip the thing over and read it upside down. You just look over your shoulder and you can see it, right? That's just a little cheat there where, you know, just have one good unit. When you park the boat and you're going to go and fish a spot, just flip the thing over and go, okay, well, I look over my shoulder, I can see where I'm at. There are huge electronic advancements, a huge electronic, you know, advantages you can get right now, but I don't think we're at that place where there is a total demarcation line between those that have and those that do not. Right? Soon it will happen. And today is what? May what? May 5th? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's my Musky Domus prediction.
Okay.
I would bet within but 2 years from now, they will outlaw the next gen of electronics in tournaments. If you've been on a boat with Garmin LiveScope, it's not even fair. Right? If you look at some of these ice tournaments they've had or some of these bass tournaments they've had, being able to see the fish in real time is insanity. So it's coming. So again, don't crucify me for saying, well, he's not big in electronics. The advancement is there. We're not there yet. The next gen is going to possibly just make it ridiculous. Okay. So, but like I said, for a budget-minded guy, if you're not a low-rance guy, at least with my experience with the Hummingbird, at least go with the 8s. Make sure you get the mapping. I know people are sitting there rolling their eyes going, oh, this hillbilly and talking low-rance. A lot of you guys have Hummingbird and you're running Navionics cards. And that's one thing. A lot of these built-in base maps are not as good as some of the Navionics stuff that's already tied in. You know, that would be my honest take. What else would be an option? You've got some of the Garmin Echo stuff, which is inexpensive, but that'd be it. Jay, I know you're not a big electronics guru per se.
I got a pretty simple unit, and yeah, I just use it for mapping depth.
Yep. Oh, hold on. There's another message here I just opened about the tube mods. I promise you I'll get a video done on that.
The Red October tubes.
Oh man, we're dragging on here. Jake says, hey guys, I know that sounds stupid, but can you go over fishing topwater? I have a couple prop baits, musky buzz, and just a creeper. I just learned to musky fish from my uncle, so I'm pretty old school in my tactics. Crank baits are my confidence bait. Good man. They should be. He said, I've caught muskies on topwater while bass fishing, and it's always so epic. I just want to be able to target muskies on topwater this year. I know light luck conditions, but can you go over where, when, and why I should be throwing topwaters and have confidence in doing so? Without crawling down the massive rabbit hole, you already nailed it with low light conditions, right? The one thing you're missing is... if you're in the northern zone, the one thing you're missing out on is midday. High bright sun at the max apex of the sun, right? In the dead middle of the day, you can pull fish out on top of it. They will come up. They will suspend barely subsurface. To be honest with you, mix it up. If you're already fishing cranks, make sure you're just rotating through in front of that topwater bite. We will do, and I'll get Joe on here because Joe is a topwater master. Jake, I'll get him on here, and we'll do a whole section like we did on gliders on topwater. But mix it up, and more on that later.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Last one is from TK. He says, I want to thank you guys for the tips and tricks and advice from about musky fishing, particularly the river tutorial and everything you guys are doing on the podcast. You guys at Muskie 360 have taken me from zero muskie catches to my first muskie ever. Didn't catch any muskies last year, and I caught my first one yesterday on the first day of Southern Wisconsin muskie season. I can't thank you guys enough. I just thought I'd give you some real-world feedback, an actual result from what you guys have been doing. Thank you so much. TK, that is friggin' awesome. That is really what we want to hear. We're trying our best here. We're a bunch of dummards, but we're trying our best. Anyway, Jay. Did I tell you about the muskie shot bass on July 17th?
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
All right, folks, be there or be square. Gonna be guiding some of you guys the next day. After that, we're gonna go out on the boat. Let us know. Other than that, I'm pretty much still.